Okay, so tonight's talk is called Don't Waste Your Pain. And I actually did a talk with this title a few years ago, but this is a new improved version. I don't know if this has much resemblance to the previous talk. The title for this talk came from, I was in a bookstore just looking at books. I don't even remember what the book I was looking at was, but I turned it over, and on the back, in big letters, it said, "Don't waste your pain." And I said, "Oh, I like that. I like that. I'm going to make a talk out of that," which I have, and now I've made a day-long retreat out of it as well. And the day-long is the purpose of it is working, is to learn to work more skillfully with our physical and emotional pain. And as I've been planning this retreat, I have tons of notes. And so what I'm going to do tonight is just a sliver. It's, in a sense, I'm going to tonight just talk about what I think is the main point behind Don't Waste Your Pain. Is the sound still okay? Is it too loud? Just, I hear myself and would rather not, but okay. So, in saying I was going to do this talk and this day-long retreat, it can appear as if this is some sort of special topic in Buddha Dharma, as if working with your pain is a special topic. But this is the point of the whole path of the Dharma. So this is not, I'm not giving some, like, as if this is some little piece of the Dharma, some little special area of the Dharma. This is the whole Dharma. The Buddha said, I teach, many of you have heard this, I teach one thing and one thing only, suffering and the end of suffering. So tonight and what I say, I don't know that I'm going to say anything new or you know, in some way you haven't heard before, but I do hope I say something that is inspiring and meaningful and perhaps might shift something in your practice around this. So when we're working with pain or physical, emotional pain, I guess the first thing I want to say, there's kind of two levels in working with emotional and physical pain. And I want to be clear about this because people can think if you talk about one that you're not, it's not, the other isn't valid, but both levels are important. So the first level of working with pain is what I'm calling the conventional level, the conventional level of working with pain. And so with physical pain, that means we need to attend to our body. We might seek treatment. We might look into medical causes. We might do a variety of different things related to, that's the conventional level of understanding a body and working with pain skillfully and that way. And emotionally, the same thing with the conventional level would be perhaps to, we need to, in the conventional sense, we have emotional reaction in the situation. We might need to attend to the situation. For example, if we're having a lot of anger, we might need to address something in our life, some issue in our relationships, or something like that. Learn more skills, it might mean we need to express something, all of that. That's all good, both the physical and the emotional. The second level, which for not tonight, I'm calling the psycho-spiritual level. The psycho-spiritual level is what I want to talk about tonight. And the psycho-spiritual level is all about what is happening in this moment. It's about what is happening in this moment. What are you experiencing in this moment? And how are you relating or responding to that? So to give you a better example of, I have some arthritic pain in my body. So the conventional level for me is to, you know, I'm looking into diet and what helps or with that. I do stretching, things for my body. I take anti-inflammatories. That's one level of working with it. That's important. We do that. But the psycho-spiritual level is when I feel pain right now, when I feel pain in this moment, How do I receive it? How do I respond to it internally? What is my reaction to it? What am I contributing to it with my own levels of stress, of contraction, of reactivity? Or am I allowing myself to soften, to open, to bring compassion? So what is it, how is it being responded to in the moment? Do I tense up? Do I avoid? Do I shut down? Do I get lost in my stories? So that whole psycho-spiritual level is the one I'm interested in. And this relates to the, of course, the First Noble Truth. And unless you're really new to Buddhism, you have heard of the First Noble Truth. What is the First Noble Truth? Somebody? What? How did you phrase it?
There is suffering.
There is suffering, and I heard some other suffering. Okay, there is suffering. Life has suffering. There's different ways to say it. So this pain and the suffering that the First Noble Truth is talking about, this idea that the, you might also say that the unawakened life has lots of suffering. All the other teachings of Buddha Dharma are built on this insight or this observation. All the other teachings come back to this. So again, how we relate to our pain and our suffering is the core teaching here. So I'm going to explore that a little bit more. So what another way to say what the First Noble Truth is saying is that through our misunderstanding, our conditioning, the traditional word is ignorance, we get caught again and again in patterns of pain and suffering. We get caught again and again through this old misunderstanding, this old conditioning. We go round and round and round and round, again and again in the same patterns. We see it over and over. We do it again and again, and this is what samsara is. Some of you may know the word samsara. It actually means the wheel of samsara. We all know about the wheel of samsara, don't we? How we get caught in the same thing, again, a reactivity pattern, some kind of habit, some kind of addiction, some kind of behavior. So our job on this journey, this spiritual journey, the journey of awakening, if we choose to take it on, and my experience is not so many people really choose to take it on, but hopefully all of you are in the category of taking this on, is to break out of our fog, out of our trance, of our old conditioning, of our ignorance, break free and discover our deep capacity for freedom. So instead of going round and around in these patterns of ignorance and suffering, we have the opportunity to break out of that fog, of that delusion, into, as I said, finding our capacity for freedom. So freedom from what? Freedom from what? Well, freedom from habits of contracting, of clinging onto things, of identification, of trying to control the uncontrollable, of battling with reality, of the struggle of with reality of our patterns of suffering that we have developed, perfected, reinforced, and continue to play out. So, one of the things I said was our battle with reality. If you battle with reality, who wins? You or reality?
Reality.
Reality always wins. And yet we spend a lot of our lives struggling with what is, rejecting, avoiding, disagreeing, with the simple fact of what is actually arising, happening, and being experienced right now. Saying we don't like it, we don't want it, it shouldn't be this way. Saying something shouldn't be the way it is one of the most futile things we can do, and yet we all do it repeatedly. And the Buddha particularly talked about aging, illness, and death as major experiences of being a sentient living being, that we can get caught in terrible suffering around aging, illness, and death unless we learn how to find a deeper place of freedom and openness. Unless we can find ways of letting go and disidentifying and understanding the true nature of what's going on. And he often said that these things lead to painful sorrow and lamentation. Lamentation is one of the words that's often used, and it's an old-fashioned word. I don't think I've used it recently in my normal conversation. But it's a great word, and the definition of it is, one of the definitions, is to express regret or disappointment over something considered unsatisfactory, unreasonable, or unfair. To express regret or disappointment over something considered unsatisfactory, unreasonable, or unfair. So how much of your day do you spend in lamentation? And something of what's going on, of who you are, of events. How much lamentation do you have about yourself? So, through our practice, through our meditation, through our mindfulness, through opening our hearts, we learn about the First Noble Truth teaches us, forces us, if we let it, forces us to learn how to deal with our experiences of pain, of difficulty, of discomfort, of unpleasantness in a new way. It's learning how to be with these experiences in a new and freeing way. And there's kind of two aspects to this. So the first one is becoming more and more open to our experience without contracting, without identifying, without reacting, and without closing down. That's the essence of meditation and mindfulness practice. Is we're learning to be present with whatever experience is there from this place of open awareness, of this friendly, spacious attention to what our experience is. Rather than being lost in the experience, rather than reacting to the experience, rather than pushing it away, grabbing onto it, so forth. So this mindfulness creates a kind of spaciousness that can be with what is as it is. Our mindfulness is, that's where it's taking us. It's not about being a good breath watcher. It's not about even noticing things as they happen. It's about that kind of allowing yourself to rest in the open awareness of presence. And within that, everything arises, and we learn that we can actually be there with it. The pleasant, the unpleasant, and the neutral. We learn, in a sense, how to be very big. Our ego consciousness, our habits, our conditioning is very small and tight. And from that standpoint, it's very painful. But our actual nature, the actual quality, you might say, of our deepest consciousness is enormous and spacious and vast and has the capacity to be with pain with a peaceful heart. And a metaphor, there's different kind of metaphors that are used for this, but one I like is if you take a tablespoon of salt, a heaping tablespoon of salt, and you put it into a glass of water, and then you drink that water, it's pretty disgusting. And it might even make you kind of gag. If you take that same heaping tablespoon of water and of salt and put it into a lake, is there a problem? And you taste the water from the lake, is it salty? Is it a problem? Same heaping tablespoon of salt. And if you think of that same heaping tablespoon of pain, if you put it into a small, contracted, tight, reactive container, then there's a problem. If you put it into an open, spacious, allowing, friendly, empty, vast container, which is who you are, by the way, it's a different experience. Same amount of pain, different relationship, different experience. Still painful in a sense. Pain is pain. But it becomes less and less of a problem. So the other thing we learn is about what... the other thing we learn is what's called the second arrow. Our mindfulness and our presence, our investigation of what is... We begin to see these patterns of smallness, of contractionness, of reactivity. The second arrow means that when first arrow is an experience we have, the second arrow is our reactivity to it. So we have an experience, let's say pain, for example, and then we react to the pain with more pain, more anger, more resentment, more fear, more whatever it is that you do. And then we have a whole cycle. This begins the cycle, the pattern, the going round and round with our suffering. So we have objective sensations, what I call objective. If I went and knocked Mary on the knee with this pretty hard, it would have a certain hurt. And that would be fairly universal for all of us. That's the objective sensation. But the suffering or the subjective experience is all the infinite forms of reactivity that Mary might add to that. The anger, the reaction, the million types of reactivity that we can get into. Rather than just be with the present experience, respond to it openly as it is. So all those experiences boil down to some form of greed, some form of aversion, or some form of delusion. Okay, so... the main point I want to get to, that's kind of all preamble actually, setting the Buddhist stage. What do you think I mean when I say don't waste your pain? And I'm asking this as a real question, looking for answers out there. What do you think I mean? What is the significance of this instruction? What's it pointing to or talking about? Don't waste your pain.
An opportunity for practice.
An opportunity for practice. Yeah. So can you say more? Or how is it practice?
Well, in making some wise choice about how to respond to it in the present moment. Mm-hmm.
So what would it mean to, what would wasting your pain mean? You can answer, somebody else can answer. Yeah.
Wasting your pain, just what you were talking about, that you would be so constricted to reality that pain exists. Mm-hmm. And so you can either open it up into a vast space of that black container, mm-hmm. or you can just keep it constricted. Mm-hmm.
And if we keep it constricted, if we keep going through our reactivity, as I was saying, we just stay stuck. Not only do we stay stuck, it can get sort of in a cycle of getting worse and worse and worse, both the pain and our reactivity to it. So what I want to propose here is our relationship to and how we approach and how we understand our pain is the pivotal place where we can find out if we're actually doing our practice, the practice that we teach here, or are we playing out our old strategies and just giving it a spiritual name. How you react to your emotional, physical pain, how you relate to it as practice or as opportunity or as a chance for transformation. Do you respond to it that way? Or do you continue to look at the difficulty, the struggle, the different kinds of pain that arise every day as an opportunity to try to enforce control, as an opportunity to get lost in hope and fear, as an opportunity to try fix things you can't fix, as an aversive rejecting experience, as magical thinking? So I'm asking you to reflect on that right now. Are you still trying to always fix it, get rid of it? Are you trying to meditate better so it'll go away? Or do you think if you knew the right technique, you would have less physical and emotional pain? If you only knew how to do everything, is still your pain somehow some tragic mistake? Is it some punishment, your karmic punishment that you're getting? Or is pain an invitation? Is pain an invitation? Is pain an imperative? Is pain the whole point of looking at how you live, how you react, how you respond, how open your heart is, how you do or do not bring wisdom to your experience? Pain is always an invitation to pay attention. Pain is saying, pay attention to me. Pain is not saying, repress. Pain is not saying, push away. Pain is not saying, you're bad. Pain is an invitation to pay deep and close and open attention to what you're actually experiencing. It's an invitation to wake up, and it's an invitation to open. And if you listen to that call, if you truly listen to it and open to it and allow it and see it for what it is and begin to investigate your own old patterns, your own fears, and your own barriers, and your own armor, and your own resistance, if instead you listen to and see this call from reality, this call of the body, of the heart, of our very soul, then real transformation is possible. And this is what the Buddha was talking about. He wasn't talking about being a better person or getting it right or being a perfect meditator. He wasn't talking about curing something or fixing you or improving or getting rid of anything. It's about opening to the fullness, the completeness, a radical acceptance and a radical openness to your life and to who you are and to what is. It's an invitation to stop resisting. It's an invitation to stop being the small, limited self that you think you are. This is from Gibran, Khalil Gibran. Your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding. Your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding. Even as the stone of the fruit must break, that its heart may stand in the sun, so must you know pain. And could you keep your heart in wonder at the daily miracles of your life, your pain would not seem less wondrous than your joy. And you would accept the seasons of your heart, even as you would always accept the seasons that pass over the fields. And you would watch with serenity through the winters of your grief. And you would accept the seasons of your heart, even as you have always accept the seasons that pass over the fields. And you would watch with serenity through the winters of your grief. So we have this invitation to feel pain and to feel joy, to feel love, to feel contraction when we're feeling contraction, to feeling disappointment when we're feeling disappointment, to feel ease when we're feeling ease. So what happens? We spend our life in this agenda of getting it right because we have experiences we don't want and we're going to get rid of those and then it'll be okay and we'll get it right finally and then everything will be fine. So what happens when we reject our experience in the present moment? And I want to say it's important to see. Part of our practice is to begin to see how often we want to reject our experience. And again, I'm just talking about what is arising in the moment and do we reject it? When we do that, we are rejecting ourselves. We are pushing ourselves away and we are dividing ourselves. And we disconnect from our hearts and we disconnect from our potential for wisdom and we disconnect from our very life. Instead, we can actually learn to be there for it all. And this is where our practice is taking us. And we can learn to trust that that's possible. And we can learn to meet whatever arises in this open space with gentleness and care and interest and acceptance. And again, what I'm talking about is in this present moment, in now, what you're experiencing now. Doesn't mean you don't go to the doctor. Doesn't mean you do all that stuff. But right now, what are you doing with what you're experiencing now? In what ways are you open? In what ways are you shutting down? What do you know about yourself? In what ways are you disconnected and disconnecting? No, the organ of feeling, I call it the organ of feeling, isn't a particular organ, although in a way it's here in our body, the heart. It feels it all, the joys and the sorrows. To feel joy, you must feel sorrow. If you know, if you truly allow sorrow, you will feel incredible joy. And to be open is to be open to everything. To open to life, to wonder, and to this transformation. And we no longer need to fear our pain, which is the biggest, one of the biggest fears we have. And when we fear something, we don't want to look at it, we don't want to be with it. So this is an invitation to do it differently. This is a poem which I think is instructions for meditation. Wendell Berry. I go among trees and sit still. All my stirrings become quiet. Around me like circles in water, my tasks lie in their places where I left them, asleep like cattle. That's a description of meditation. Of course, people know I literally tell people to go among trees, but you can imagine we come here to meditate. We sit among the trees of ourselves and we sit still. And then our stirrings can become quiet and just be around us like circles in water. Our tasks lie in their places. All the responsibilities and tasks of your life are not here right now. You can let them sleep like cattle. And then the second part, then what I am afraid of comes. I live for a while in its sight. So when we open and practice mindfulness, what we are afraid of will come to us. And I live for a while in its sight. What I fear in it leaves it, and the fear of it leaves me. It sings, and I hear its song. What I fear in it leaves it, and the fear of it leaves me. It sings, and I hear its song. So everything, every moment, and every experience can be met in this way, allowing it to be in our sight, allowing us to be in its sight, to meet it with this openness and willingness. So pain then becomes just an aspect of our experience, one of many, many, many. And we are no longer controlled by our endless dance and panic to avoid it, to run away and to shut down in the moment. And then, and only then, is it possible to truly respond with wisdom and love to what you're experiencing. So somewhere in us, we sort of, especially in the West, have this belief that we're supposed to be pain-free. You sort of wonder, whoever said we're supposed to be pain-free? That there's something wrong if I'm not. And certainly TV commercials want us to believe that we're supposed to be pain-free and we need to get something, do something, buy something, take something in order to find salvation. But I want to say that we are sentient beings. We are sentient beings. And do you know what sentient means? Sentient means the being able to perceive and feel things. And as sentient beings, it's through our sentience, through our awareness that gives us the ability to perceive and feel things, that we also have the capability of knowing the deepest level and living from the deepest level of who and what we really are. And that means being sentient. That means being open. Are you willing to be truly sentient? This is Pema Chodron. If your everyday practice is to open to all your emotions, to all the people you meet, to all the situations you encounter, without closing down, trusting that you can do that, then that will take you as far as you can go, and then you'll understand all the teachings that anyone has ever taught. And it takes a big courageous heart to do this. It takes a big, courageous heart. It doesn't take ideas, and it doesn't take plans, and it doesn't take agendas, and it doesn't take wishes. It takes really only a big and willing, courageous heart to go beyond the limits and the contractions and the delusions and the old patterns and the old habits and the addictions that keep us small and keep us frightened, and that keep us reactive, and that keep us exhausted. And as we more and more cultivate this big, courageous heart, which mindfulness is really about the willingness of our hearts to be open and awake, we find that we are connected to all beings in our joy and our love and our pain and our suffering. And knowing that we are connected in all those ways is the compassion of the awakened heart. So don't waste your pain. Your pain is here to wake you up. And I'll end with a quote by Pir Vilayat Khan. Overcome any bitterness because you were not up to the magnitude of the pain entrusted to you. Like the mother of the world who carries the pain of the world in her heart, you are sharing in the totality of this pain and are called upon to meet it in compassion and joy instead of self-pity. Okay, let's just sit for a moment. So we have about 3 or 4 minutes for any comments or questions. Yes.
I haven't been here for a while, and I feel like the longer I wait in between coming and meditating, settling on my own.
Pardon? I can't.
The longer that I wait in between coming here and meditating, because I don't tend to do it on my own, the harder it gets, and I see the patterns of my inability to be present as less of a cycle, but more of like an avalanche. And I guess I came here tonight feeling like it would be really easy for me to say that there are so many reasons for me to not be present, and how easy it is to get overwhelmed with the distractions. And I think it was really helpful for me to hear that it doesn't have to be, I don't have to feel overwhelmed with it, but I can see all of those hardships and distractions as opportunities. And so
Thank you. I want to say that the mess of our life is the fertile ground for awakening. And you may feel like your life is a mess, but most of us do. And it is a mess. So have confidence that it's the fertile ground from which we find understanding and compassion.
Mm-hmm. And then I feel like when it's not busy, I'm uncomfortable with it.
So little by little, it just means little by little, we get more comfortable with being present. And we start to see the fears there that keep us from doing that. And we get more confidence. And we give ourselves more encouragement. And little by little, it shifts. And I guess I want to say, too, that there are a lot of ways we learn. It's the best option we have at times, is to distract ourselves, disconnect ourselves, get busy. But we're learning new ways.
Is the paper on top again? I did hear that one twice.
Pema?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one of my favorites. I often share this, and I see it as a great aspiration. If your everyday practice is to open to all your emotions, to all the people you meet, to all the situations you encounter, without closing down and trusting that you can do that, then that will take you as far as you can go, and then you'll understand all the teachings that anyone has ever taught. Any last thing before we close for tonight? Yeah.
I think I struggle with when, like in what situations to take action, because I feel like so much of the practice is to accept what's going on and to understand how you're reacting and really try to understand that, and then I feel like I've run across situations in my life or in certain relationships where I don't want to say like standing up for myself, but like if I'm not taking action towards progress, then like how long are you going to sit and like be present with it, you know?
Those two are not separate, and they're not at all mutually exclusive. And that's one of the it can seem that way in the beginning, let me put it that way. But there's no call to inaction. And the truth is you're acting and choosing all the time. And what this is moving towards is actually acting and choosing from wisdom instead of habit and conditioning. So to not do something is a choice and an action. To do something is a choice and an action. To do something else is a choice and an action. So you're doing it all, you're choosing and acting all the time. And so what this is again, I want to say, it's not, this. When I'm talking about acceptance and being with things, it means whatever is being experienced right now. It doesn't mean the situation isn't messed up in a certain sense and you need to do something about it. Of course, that may be so. But are you actually being open to yourself? Are you actually acknowledging totally what is going on there? Are you shutting out, dividing yourself, pushing away, resisting? That's what I'm talking about again. In the moment, are you willing to be with what's your full experience? And the more you learn how to do that without fear and without with freshness, I might say, the more you actually access immediate responsive wisdom and immediate responsive compassion. It's not overnight. None of this is overnight. But that's the direction it's going in. So I just encourage you, yes, we need to take action all the time. As I said, we are taking actions all the time. And actually begin to recognize how many choices you're making unconsciously and making them more conscious. Every time you do something out of habit, you've just made a choice to repeat something. So is this making some sense? And I want to say, the talk I'm giving tonight in some ways is an advanced talk. In some ways it's also the beginning, the ground from which you need to go from. It's advanced in the sense that it takes a while to really know how to say, to really know that all there is this moment and our response to it. We have all these stories and big dramas and plans and ideas, and all there is, and all there has ever been, and all there will ever be, is what's arising and what we're experiencing in the moment and how we react to it. And that's what this is talking about. And then when we begin to be able to do that without our past, as I said, out of our self-judgment and our criticalness and our old fears and all that, the more we see that, the more we begin to open, the more wisdom just arises. Compassion is just there. Insight, that's where insight comes from. This is called insight practice. And I'm hopefully offering you the inspiration and maybe a intuitive sense of where this is going, because it doesn't happen overnight, and we sort of clump around a lot. And you know, earlier I said a beginner 6 months or less. I said actually what I think of a beginner is 10 years or less. So anyway, I'll leave it there. Our time is up. Thank you, everybody, for coming. It's been lovely to be in this lovely space. It's been a while. And I hope you all practice and open your hearts and learn to trust and rest in the present. And may I dedicate this evening to all beings. So may we share whatever good heart, compassion, wisdom, goodness, with all beings everywhere, so that all beings open unconditionally to their own life, so that all beings know the deep peace that is possible, so that all beings can become relaxed and fluid in freedom. I've sort of forgotten how to ring this bell. Yeah, that's a good one. Thank you. And I'll be here for a few minutes if anybody wants to say something, introduce yourself, if I can figure out how to turn this off.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.